in your Bibles tonight, turn with me to 2 Chronicles again. Tonight I want to read a verse of Scriptures in chapter number 29. Last night we preached in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 about following the wrong man. In verse 29, I want to read one verse, verse number 36, the last verse. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Let's pray. Lord, again tonight we come thanking you for your mercy that you've shown us today. God, we're so grateful that you've allowed us to come back, Lord, and to look into your book again. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts again. God, we stand in need of direction tonight. God, we need advice. God, we just need to know you and your will for our life. And I pray you reveal it. God, if they be sin, I pray, dear God, that it might be dealt with tonight. God, if there's somebody here that's not saved tonight, Lord, I pray that Christ might pointed out in the message tonight so that they might find him as their Savior tonight. Lord, all that you do for us, we're going to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want to try to talk a little bit tonight from this thought, a change in leadership. Last night we talked about following the wrong man. I wrote down in my Bible, and I don't mean to confuse anybody, but I wrote down almost as a subject, from right to wrong and from wrong to right. Because that's what exactly, Ahaz's daddy had done what was right in the sight of the Lord, but here come Ahaz, and he did that which was not right in the eyes of the Lord. He went from right to wrong. But thank God you don't have to stay in the wrong. You can go from wrong to right. And that is pretty much what the message is about tonight. A change in leadership. You know, we're hearing a whole lot today about that word change. It seems like everybody said, well, we need a change. Can I tell you something? I agree. We do need a change. And I'm not just talking about politics that they're saying we need a change, but we need a change. You can look at the world tonight. We need to change. You can look at our churches and our homes that we dealt with last night. We need some change to take place in it. But can I tell you something? If we have a change, death is going to have to take place. Boy, that's something nobody wants to do. But when there was a change in leadership, Ahaz had to die. Ahaz, remember what I said the word Ahaz meant last night? Ahaz meant he has grasped us. He has taken control. He has possessed us. And for a change to take place, death has to come. Hey, if there's something possessing you and controlling your life, may I tell you, you're going to have to die to that tonight. Ahaz died. Hezekiah came on the scene. And the Bible says that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. I want to stop there just a minute as an introduction and say this. Last night I mentioned the thought that I realized that everybody does not come from a Christian home. Sometimes homes are broken. Sometimes the moms and dads, they're not teaching us in godly manners. They're not living godly lives before us. And so maybe tonight you might come and say, well, preacher, I've got an excuse for the reason that I live like I live. Many a time, may I tell you, Adam, when he was in his deepest sins, he always looked at me and pointed his finger and said, Daddy, it's your fault. I mean, I weren't doing the drugs, but he'd say, hey, Daddy, it's your fault. If you look at Hezekiah, Hezekiah's daddy was not saved. Ahaz did not do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Well, why did Hezekiah come along and do that was right then? What I'm trying to do is take some of the excuses we have out. I'll tell you one reason he did that which was right. Although his daddy didn't serve God, his mama did. Abijah. Boy, she loved God, I believe. I believe she taught this young man the things and the ways of God. But can I tell you something else? It wasn't just her. It was his grandpa too. His grandpa was Zechariah. And he loved God. And Zechariah and Abijah, they taught Hezekiah as a small child the ways of the Lord. What I'm saying is, hey, maybe daddy and mama's not living for God. But God has put you in a place where they... Hey, can I tell you, that's grace right there. God has put you in a place where you can be taught the ways of God and the love of God. Amen. And so that takes away with our excuse. This is the reason that I live ungodly. Death had to take place. Hezekiah came on the scene. And the Bible says he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. May I say this tonight? If revival comes... we'll have to come to the end of ourself. And when we come to the end of ourself, change will take place in our life. But to come to the end of ourself, we must die. We must die. And if we die by yielding ourselves unto God, then Christ will live in you and I, and a change will take place in our life. Before I get to my message tonight, I want you to look at the word Hezekiah. Very interesting word. It comes from the word, Greek word, kaza. I believe my daddy knew Hezekiah. I used to say, well, why are you going to make me do this, daddy? And he'd say, cause I say so. So he must have knew kaza. It's K-H-A-W-Z-A-K. And that word means, it has three meanings. Number one, to be repaired. Number two, to be strengthened. And number three, it means to be established. May I say tonight, maybe you're here and your life is in a mess and you have need of repair tonight. May I tell you what? I believe if you'll get a hold of Kaza tonight, I believe if God, if you'll just die to yourself tonight, I believe he can do some repair work in your life. You might be here tonight and you just feel so weak and hopeless and helpless. You're just about ready to throw the towel in. Can I tell you what? I believe tonight that he can strengthen you. You might be here tonight and you just feel like that you're an old ship just broken apart and just floating and being tossed to and fro. I believe he can establish your goings tonight. I believe he can put you on a firm foundation tonight. I tell you what, I still go through a lot of storms in my life. But can I tell you what I believe? I believe when he saved me, I believe he set my foot upon a rock. He established my goings, put a new song in my heart. I tell you what, I like that. I just like that. I just like to know that there's something inside me that can help me through times that I can't do it on my own. And boy, may I tell you what, you got to die to yourself for that kind of change to take place. So, kaza means to be repaired. Maybe your life needs some repair. It means to be strengthened. Maybe you need some strength tonight to get through what you're going through. And it means to be established. Now let's look at my message right quick. Five ways that you can tell a change has taken place. Five ways that you can tell a change has taken place. Number one, I believe that his life enticed others. His life... whose life? Hezekiah's life. I believe that it enticed others because the Bible says he did that which was right in the eyes or the sight of the Lord. I mean, people was looking at him. He was a king. I looked up that word enticed, and here's what it means. And I'm tell you, I'm just about this close from having a fit tonight. That word enticed, it means to attract. Boy, I tell you what, we need, our life needs to attract people.
Amen. When I met Diane, boy, there's just something about her attracted me. It was like a magnet. It just sucked me in. She's just it for me. But it also means to allure. I get to thinking about people that goes fishing and they cast out that bait. And that bait, although it might be a small minnow, that minnow is meant to allure a great old big fish. And what he's saying is, when a change takes place in our life, that our life will entice other people to want what we got. Amen. Hey, I mean, I got my cup run over today when we were in your study, and I told him, I said, now I've been wanting to do something on this word. In the Bible, it says that we're to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I know that word means more than just, hey, will you come to church with me? I know also that it does not mean to go there and beat them over the head with a ball bat and say, get in here. There's just something that it means. And hey, we looked it up in this Webster dictionary that Brother Randy has. And it means to be irresistible. Irresistible. May I tell you what? When we get saved, our life should be irresistible. Can I tell you, church, you want to grow? You need to be irresistible. I got me a sermon this afternoon on that too. Something that just, and when people look at it, they want it. Can I tell you something? That's what we need to be. We need to be so alluring. Our life is so irresistible. They say, I just can't live without it. Maybe we're missing that in our churches today. People come and say, well, you know what? I can live without that. Maybe they had a good service. Maybe they had a good choir. Maybe they had good preaching. But they say, but you know what? I can live without that. Let me ask you something. What do we need in our church that would be so irresistible that people couldn't say, I won't come back? Brother, that's it right there. It's irresistible. And here I believe that the reason they had revival was that his life was such a change that it was just irresistible to go any other way except the way Hezekiah was going. Boy, I want my family. I want my wife. I love her more than I love myself. But I want her to see so much Christ in me that, boy, that's all she wants. And she wants to, that's my husband. I want him because he wants Christ. That's all I ever need. It's just him and the irresistibleness that I see of Christ in him. I love my children. And boy, that's what they need to see in me. Boy, I tell you, is that what people are seeing in us? Maybe that's the reason we're not having revival. It's because we're not too enticing to the community out here. Oh, I tell you, we got to get something, friends. We're living in a different age than what it was 50 years ago. We got to get something real. I believe this in my study this afternoon, in my sermon that I tried to prepare. Almost everything that I found that had to be irresistible, we had a part in it, but it was mainly God. Oh, I tell you what, it's going to take a mighty working of God, but we got to make sure that we do our part. You say, how you going to do that? Boy, when people come in that door back there, if you ever shined them teeth and smiled at them, boy, you need to shine them in. You ever been friendly to anybody? Boy, when they come in the house of God, you need to be friendly. Amen. Give everything you got, whether it's teaching Sunday school or singing in the choir, or playing an instrument.
That's right, preacher.
Give all you got. Yeah. Hey, that might be the only opportunity you ever have to win that Amen. Soul is that you make Jesus so irresistible.
Yes.
They say, I just got to have it. I'm a big lover of country ham. Y'all know that. I get smelling country ham. Do you know what? I believe it'd take a mighty big man to keep me from eating country ham if I got to smelling that stuff cooking. Oh, me. Or chocolate.
Those things, they entice me. They attract me. They make me want it so bad because of the smell, the odor they put off. And boy, I just believe it's a sweetness to being a child of God that we're missing today. And unless we die to ourselves, we'll never find it.
Amen.
It's like I said in my opening. Nobody wants to die. Everybody says we want revival, but nobody's willing to die to themselves that we might have it. I got to go on or I won't get done. One way you can know if a change has took place is that your life entices others. Number two, he erected those things which had been destroyed and torn down. He built them back up. Now, let me say this before I forget it, because I don't want to forget this. One of the things, or three of the things that he tore down last night, that Ahaz tore down, he tore down his relationship with his mom and daddy. If we're going to get right with God, we're going to have to get right with man.
Amen.
We're going to get right with God. Boy, if mom and daddy tried to teach us the right way, we need to get right with mom and daddy. There might be some of you here tonight, and one reason you can't have revival is because you will not die to yourself and get right with mom and daddy.
Amen.
The other reason was because that they turned from right and went wrong. They made everything that used to be right wrong. I tell you what, when you die to yourself, it won't matter what you think. I'm about sick of philosophies anyway, what everybody thinks. But I believe that we need to get back to what God thinks. He said, well, my ways are not your ways. Why should we expect that what we think is what God... Hey, his ways are so much higher than ours. His thoughts and his everything is so much greater than ours. And the only way we can ever get there is to die to self. Notice some of the things that he erected. He opened the doors to the house of the Lord back. His daddy Ahaz had shut the door. He didn't want people worshiping. But I believe we get right with God. Boy, I believe we want to see people get in church. I believe that we want to see people get saved. I believe we want to see people praising God. I believe we want to see God honored. And yet we can say, oh yeah, I'm all right with God. He erected back the doors that had been shut. He opened them up where people could come in to the house of God again. And then notice, I was thinking on this thing today. And then he let the lamp, remember last night Ahaz put out the fire in the lamp? I got to thinking on that thing. That's got some juice to it too. Because look, he erected back. He put the fire back. But listen just a moment. The Holy Spirit, whether you and I ever get right with God, won't change his power not one iota. There's still power in there to make people testify. There's still power in there to make churches have revival. And there's still enough power. There's still enough juice in there to illuminate as your flame went out. Notice, he erected the flame back into the lamp. Then the third thing, I want you to notice this. The third thing was that he indulged himself in praying. He didn't tell the people to pray, but he himself, Hezekiah, king of Israel, he prayed in front of the people. He indulged himself in praying. Therefore, everybody else, they will begin to pray too. And then fourthly, he encouraged them to go back to worship again. Because there's a general departing of worship under Ahaz. So we find, number one, that his life enticed others, shows that there's a change took place. He erected that had been destroyed or torn down. It was the second way that you know that change can take place. And the third way is because there was an eviction of sin. an eviction of sin. If you notice, I believe it's in verse number 6. It might be verse number 5. The Bible says there that Hezekiah told the Levites, here's what he said, Levites, sanctify yourself. Cleanse yourself. And then he said, and then cleanse the house of the Lord. And then in that very scripture, it says, get all the filth out of the holy place. Boy, if there's going to change take place in your life, there's got to be an eviction of sin. If you'll notice in verses 16 down through verses 19, we find where that the Levites did exactly what Hezekiah said. They got in there on the first day of the month and they began cleaning the house of God, throwing out all the filth. And after a couple of weeks, they came to Hezekiah and said, all right, Hezekiah, we've got it. We've got the place of worship. We've got it cleaned out now. Now we can worship God. We're ready now. We're ready to worship God. Can I tell you something? Till you get the sin, the filth cleaned out of our lives, out of the church as a whole, there's not much revival going to take place. There's not a lot of change going to take place. I love the book of Nehemiah, especially chapter number 3, where it talks about all the gates, the 10 different gates. And the gates there you had, first of all, the sheep gate. And all these things, God so lined out. First gate, it represents going to Calvary, as Christ is the Lamb of God. May I tell you what? That's the first. You got to go there first. And then it went on to the fish gate, which represents a soul winning. And then it went on. I've got to get to my point. It went on to the dung gate. The dung gate is the place they carried out all the trash. The dung gate is where they all the filth, all the waste was taken to the dung gate. Now the reason I wanted to show you that is the gate after the dung gate is the fountain gate, which represents the Holy Spirit of God. Can I tell you, you'll never get filled with the Holy Ghost of God till first of all you go to the dung gate and get rid of the filth. There'll never be a change that can take place in your life as long as filth is in your life. There was an eviction of sin, number 3. Number 4, he became eligible for service. You getting all this? Number 1, his life enticed others. Number 2, he erected those things that he destroyed. And number 3, he evicted sin. Number 4, that made him eligible for service. A lot of folks today are not eligible for service because of the filth in their life. Because it's still them trying to run the show. And when we die, then Christ lives. And then these things will take place. And then, boy, we can have revival. Look at verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. Let me go back up here and read it. In verse number 11, it says, my son, I like that part. I could stop there and shout. My son, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about that we become eligible. Hey, Brother Scott, the Lord. Hey, I'm not talking about Brother Randy. I'm not talking about Brother Gentry. But hey, God Himself that created the heavens and earth, He's chosen you. He's chosen you. What to do? He's chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, that you should minister unto Him and burn incense. Wow. He's chosen me to stand before Him thrice holy, righteous God. He's chosen you. But listen, I tell you what, you're not eligible for that service unless you die to yourself and get sin out of your life. Friend, I tell you what, that's where we got to get to tonight. We got to have new leadership. Notice, he said, I want you to stand before me and serve me and minister to me. Do what, God? Oh, I'm to minister unto you. You know what? I never have been too much in praying. I've never been too good at praying. But the only prayers that seem like I ever get through to God is when I start and I begin talking about, God, thou art holy. Oh, God, how holy you are. God, there's no sin. You're so pure and so righteous. Oh, God, thou art holy, God. And I began talking to him, and I began to talk to him about his attributes. He's righteous. He's so pure. And this is the one we're supposed to minister unto him. We cannot minister with impurity or with unrighteousness. But we got to die and let Christ. See, that's one of the joys that I got, brother. Used to, people were so afraid they was going to die and go to hell after they got saved. I'm going to tell you something. The reason that I'm not afraid of that is because when I got saved and the Holy Spirit came inside me, that's He, God. And hey, God's inside of me. He made me complete in Him. And it's Jesus that's living in me. It's not me. I'm dead. But He lives. And if I'm able to minister unto God, it'll be He, Christ. In me that's ministering unto him. Oh, that I might be able to minister as I preach. And may I minister in my prayer life. May I minister in my praise. May I minister in my worship. Adoring him. Oh, God. We got to get back to some of these things. It must be. To where that we can minister unto the Lord. He's made us eligible. And then lastly tonight, I want you to see that He has made us be emotional. There's an emotional ending to this thing. I read it there in verse 36. And Hezekiah rejoiced. Let me go back again. Hey, those that Christ has repaired, they rejoice. Those whom Christ has strengthened, they rejoice. Those whom He has established tonight, they rejoice tonight. Notice what it says, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people. For God hath prepared the people. God has given us everything that we need. For this thing, He said, was done suddenly. Do you believe this thing could just break loose tonight? I mean, God has given us all that we need to have revival. But I believe that some of us, we got to die to self tonight. And there's got to be a change in the leadership of our very soul tonight. Notice this in closing. Listen to this. Diane, come on if you will. Do we entice other people with our life? Are we so irresistible with our life that people saying, oh, I want that Jesus that he's serving? Listen, I'm a nobody from nowhere, had nothing. But when Christ saved me, he put something inside me that just overwhelms me. I was being overwhelmed by sin before I got saved. I was drowning in it. And boy, it just seemed like I was fighting and trying to stay alive and stay atop of the water, to stay afloat. But since I got saved, He put something inside me that makes my eyes bug out. He put something inside me that I want you to see what I got. Hey, I ain't nothing. Hey, I'm a little boy that grew up in a slab shanty, if you know what that is. The cracks are big. You can see the chickens crawling underneath. No running water. No bathroom. But Jesus came into my heart and saved me. And it's my desire for you to see that and to want that. Listen, you're not going to never be able to sing like me, I pray. I hope that you can preach better than I can if you're a preacher. But if you ever enjoy it any more than I do, you let me know, because I need to get a little closer, because boy, I want to let it shine, I want to let it shine, I want to let it shine. The Bible says if we let our light so shine before men, that we're to do that, that it glorifies our Father in heaven. Does your life, does it entice other people? Are there some spiritual things in your life that's been torn down that you need to get restored? Are there some sins that you need to cast out? Listen to this. Are we in the position that we can be used of God? And lastly, boy, are they just happiness in your soul? Almost on a weekly basis, there are things that occur in my life and in my family's life that I could just literally lay down and cry. Most of the time, I look at my life and the things that's in my life and I think, God, there's just no way that I can ever get out from under all these debts, situations that me and my family are in. But although it seems like it's those things are so helpless, there's still something inside of me that says, you know what? If I don't never get them debts paid, I'm going to heaven. If my family never changes, I've tried. God knows I've tried to show them the right way and to be a light, an example. This thing I can tell you, this old boy's enjoyed his salvation. Amen. I've enjoyed it. Tonight, are there some things that you need to restore, to get right? Maybe some of you here tonight, you literally need to die to yourself. The Bible says that we're to crucify ourselves daily. It's not a thing that you're going to do today and not need to do again tomorrow. I'm not talking about salvation now. I'm talking about our Christian life. Old flesh want to raise up its head just about every day. And boy, you got to put him to death so Christ can live. So you can have that enticement. So you can restore those things. So you can have that happiness. As we stand tonight, you need a change in leadership. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Boy, you really need a change. And Christ is willing to change you, to save you. Would you come too tonight? As these are coming, need a change. I need a change. Help me, God, that I might die to myself, that Christ might live in me, that my life might be so irresistible that people will see Christ. While these are coming, friend, how about you? You here tonight and don't know Jesus? Jesus died that you might have this life. abundant life, everlasting life. Would you come tonight and ask Christ to come in, save you? Lord, I want revival. Are you willing to pay the price? Burn again. Make a flame.